just a range of scales on which one can measure whether something is d'oraisa, or whether something is d'rabbanan. And we suggested that when the Rambam says that things derived from the Shlosh Esrei Midos are d'rabbanan, he may mean on some of those scales rather than on others. I want to point out that the scales that we established, such as those relating to Safek d'oraisa lahachmir, those of d'oraisas are doche d'rabbanans, like Tzar Bali Chaim is doche shavus, some of them are scales which are really black and white. Either it's d'oraisa, or it is d'rabbanan. You can't have it two ways. But there are other scales, and perhaps more than we would have thought originally, which are really sliding scales, which you can have incrementally leaving the realm of d'rabbanans and approaching the realm of d'oraisas. I'm just an example of a place where it might even be counterintuitive, but it's possible that there's a sliding scale, is the question of safek d'rabbanan lahakel and safek d'oraisa lahachmir. Usually we think of it, well, okay, if it's d'oraisa, so then you know we're machmir, and if it's d'rabbanan, we're going to be mekel. That's assuming a safek hashakol, a 50-50 safek, which we can identify as a safek hashakol. So then it's clear that if it's d'oraisa, so we'll be machmir, and if it's d'rabbanan, we'll be mekel. What if there's difficulty identifying whether or not it's a safek hashakol? Is there room to say that the more that something is d'rabbanan, the more of d'rabbanan characteristics that it has, so the more relatively lenient we can be when it comes to sfeikos, the less evidence that we'll need in order to convince us that it's permissible to be lenient. And the more that something approaches being fully the d'oraisa, in the sense of being, you know, pshuto shel mikra, in the sense of being explicit in Tarsha b'chsav, in the sense of being historically very early, perhaps the closer that it approaches there, the higher a standard of evidence we'll need in order to be lenient. If we don't have that high standard of evidence, perhaps we'll be machmir. And so even safik, you could potentially have a sliding scale where you can talk about, you know, one halacha and another halacha, and you know, one of them is d'rabbanan vis-a-vis the first. In other words, that there's less evidence needed in order to be makel, but not to say that you need as little evidence as something which is genuinely d'rabbanan, both historically and literarily. So with that in mind, I just want to look, as promised, at the text of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos and the Ramban, and just show you where all of these different ideas emerge from in the text. So if you look actually at the Rambam and the Ramban, you'll notice that they take up pages and pages and pages. I've tried to excerpt the passages which are most relevant to the discussion at hand, and I'm sure that we'll be encountering many, many other passages from the Rambam and Ramban and Shoresh Aleph and Shoresh Beis as the weeks progress. But without further ado, this is this passage. So the Rambam begins, and I'm just going to be reading and making comments on the text. The Rambam says, "Ein ro'i lindos kol mashal lemidim ba'achas miyod gemal midos shatern adreshes behen oberiboy." Don't count anything which is on the list of, don't count anything derived from yod gemal midos in the list of 613 mitzvos. Riboy is somehow off the list, which we'll have to address at some point, why Riboy is off the list. There are a number of things that are off the list. The Rambam here only mentions Riboy. He doesn't mention some other things that are off the list, and that we'll have to address as well.
So what do you mean by Riboy?
A Riboy means an extra word from which a halacha is derived. It's not on the list of Yigim Amidos.
So that could maybe separate between the fact that he says that Joshua is qualified for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says, "Kol mashal itim sa'ihu kasuv b'Torah." Anything that you don't find written in the Torah, "v'itim sa'ihu b'Talmud shalim duhu be'achas miyogim amidos." You find that in the Gemara that this halacha is derived from one of the midos. "In be'aru heim be'atzmam v'amru." If Chazal themselves said shezeh guf Torah or shezeh d'oraisa, they either call it guf Torah or they call it d'oraisa. "Hinei ra'oilim noso." So then it's appropriate to count it. "Shamekablim amru shehu d'oraisa," because Chazal, who had a tradition going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, said that it's d'oraisa. But "im lo ya'varu zeh," if they don't say that it's d'oraisa, if there's velo dibrubo, they don't say anything about it. They don't specify whether it's d'oraisa or whether it's d'rabbanan. Then hineihu d'rabbanan, we consider it d'rabbanan. Again, the Rambam is very, very explicit over here that it is d'rabbanan, although we can debate what d'rabbanan means, but he certainly says that it has a shame d'rabbanan, it's called d'rabbanan. And then he gives perhaps the first definition, or the first possible definition, "Ein sham kasuv yore alav." There is no pasuk which teaches about it. So that might mean that there's no explicit pasuk that teaches about it. It may even mean that the drashos are not even implicit in the pasuk. We'll have to consider both of those options As we go on, there may be later formulations in the Rambam lean in one direction more than another, but at least he establishes for us that one of the criteria about whether something is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan is how rooted is it in the ksuvim, in the Torah shebichsav. The Rambam continues and says, Haim, he's now referring to the halachos gedolos and the monei hamitzvos who preceded him. They, kishamatzu drash ba pasuk, when they found some sort of a medrash in a pasuk, yischayev min adrashahu lasos pula min apulos, they will demand from that medrash to either do something, or laharchik inyan min hainyanim, or to abstain from something, v'him kulam below safik derabanan. Again, very explicit, that these things that are derived from medrash, they're derabanan, and therefore the halachos gedolos was in error, says the Rambam, for counting these. And yet, Yimnu Otam Bichlal HaMitzvos, Halachos Gedolos counts them, even though they are definitely Derabanan, because they are Midrashim. And the Rambam says, Afal pi shepashte dikra lo yore al davar meosam ha'inyanim. He requires, now it's much more explicit, that Pshuto Shel Mikra, if Pshuto Shel Mikra teaches me about this conduct that I should either pursue or abstain from, then this conduct is d'oraisa. The abstention is d'oraisa. If pshuto shel mikra does not, even if something other than pshuto shel mikra, if something other than pshuto shel mikra exists, whatever it is, if pshuto shel mikra does not tell me this, then it cannot qualify as d'oraisa. So there is the Rambam is very explicit that he requires something to be explicit in Torah Shebichsav. I'm assuming that he has that definition of Pshuto Shel Mikra as explicit in Torah Shebichsav, but he's very explicit about that. If we make that assumption, that's what something needs in order to be the Oraisa. I think the next two or three Chaburos will be trying to figure out what the definition is of Pshuto Shel Mikra according to the Rambam and according to others, not going into, you know, as they used to have here in the Intro to Bible. We don't have it anymore, apparently. But they used to have a whole semester devoted to figuring out what Rashi and the Rashbam and the Ramban and even Ezra meant or understood in the term Pshuto Shel Mikra. So I'm not planning to go through all of Rashi and Ramban and even Ezra al Torah, but I think that you can get a lot of Pshuto Shel Mikra by going through the Rambam and the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos and a number of important chazals that relate to the subject. But that's for later. The Rambam does say that only Pshuto Shel Mikra qualifies as the Oraisa. The Rambam then continues, Ulai tachshov, perhaps you'll think, she'ani boreach milim notan, I'm running away from counting midrashim, or types of conduct that we derive from midrashim, because lihiyotan bilti amitios, perhaps because they're not true. Bilti amitios. Vehayos hadin hayotzei b'madayim. So that's the Rambam says. You may accuse me of avoiding counting them on the list of 613, because they're not really true. So then the Rambam goes on and says, "Hayota dina yotzei b'amida hahi ms o bilti ms." Whether they are true or they're not true, ein zo hasiba. That's not why I'm not counting them. Very, very astonishing that the Rambam says that there's a possibility that they're not true. We'll see in the Ramban that the Ramban interprets this in a very respectful manner at a certain point. I think that this basically leads to the conclusion, one of the two conclusions that we mentioned last week, namely that there's a safek, right? That we're not really sure whether the halacha is true or whether the halacha is untrue. Meaning we're not really sure whether this halacha that we're deriving from one of the midrashim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai or not, but we just have to do our best because of all the things that we forgot. And so the things that Chazal tell us are Gufei Torah, or the things that Chazal tell us are D'oraisa, those we know came from Har Sinai, and so we treat them as D'oraisa. And those things that we're uncertain about whether they go back, whether it's true that they have roots in Sinai, or whether it's untrue that they have roots in Sinai, so we're uncertain about it, so those don't get counted on the list. That may be what the Rambam means when he says MS or Bilti MS, or he might mean that Chazal have the power sometimes, you know, B'davar Hadome, as Tosfos and Yivamos say, that B'davar Hadome, they have the power to say that this has the halachos of a din d'oraisa, even though its origin historically is d'rabbanan. And so therefore, again, it may be not heretical for the Rambam to consider that something which is derived from Medrash is actually a bilti emes. We know that the Rishonim very often will tell us that Midrashim are only asmachtas. Maybe the Rambam is referring to something along those lines, that even we are unsure sometimes whether a medrash is a genuine medrash or whether it's just an esmechta. So one way or another, that's a very significant two words or three words in the Rambam, that he at least contemplates the possibility that they're built TMS, whatever that means. But he says that the fact that that even if it is MS, I'm still not going to count it. The reason is, Aval Hasiba, the reason I'm not counting Midrashim, Ki Kol Ma Sheyotzi Adam, anything that a person derives from Midrashim, Him Anofim Min Hasharashim, they are branches from the roots. Min Hasharashim Shenemru Lo Lemoshe B'Sinai B'Be'ur, they're branches from the roots that were told to Moshe at Sinai, comprehensively, with clarification, very clearly. So first of all, I think that the term anafim min hasharashim indicates that we have the core Torah values, and then there are the things that emerge from that, the applications, the development, but the mitzvos are the core values, those are the sharashim, and then the things that emerge from there, the applications, the full subtlety, the nuances, those are reflected in the Midrashim and the conducts that are derived from the Midrashim. The second thing about that phrase is the Nemru Lo Lemoshe B'Sinai. Again, it seems to be more of a historical question than a Torah Shebichsav question. Torah Shebichsav would be Kasuv. Here it's anything that originated at Sinai. It's considered to be the Araisa. And then, third word, which is very, very critical, Bibe'ur, that it needs to be explicit rather than implicit. So that establishes three different scales for measuring the Araisa versus the Rabbanan. Number one is, historically, how early did it originate? Number two is, how explicit is it or how implicit? Actually, sorry, it's only two scales, because you can talk about explicit versus implicit in Torah Shebichsav, and explicit versus implicit in Torah Shebaalpeh. And so two scales, history and explicitness, and those are the Tariag Mitzvos, the things that are explicit from Sinai. Then the Rambam says, apparently respond to a possibility that people considered who preceded him, Afilu haya hamotzi Moshe ba'atzmo in ra'oi l'notam, even if Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the one who derived this particular conduct from this drasha, it's not ra'oi to count. Again, we'll see in the Ramban that probably comes from Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that perhaps anything that originated from Moshe Rabbeinu is considered to be the Oraisa. Then again, he says, Hinei kvar hispa'er, ki tariag mitzvot shenemru lo l'moshe b'Sinai, and all the 613 that were told to Moshe at Har Sinai. Here he leaves out the word b'be'ur, but the 613, lo yimane bahen kol ma sheyilamed b'shlosh esrei midos, we don't count anything in the 613 that's derived from the 13. And then he apparently again addressing something that was prevalent amongst his predecessors, afilu bizmano alav hashalom, even if it was originated in the time, the era, the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is a little bit looser. It doesn't require that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it, but rather as long as it was said in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was what some of the Rambam's predecessors apparently theorized would qualify it for being a D'oraisa. I'm not sure where that comes from in terms of Chazal. It's not Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, but it does seem to be to be something the Rambam is responding to. He goes on, I'm going to read these next four lines very quickly because I don't have that much to say about them. He says, Kol shekin, shelo yimaneh bahen ma shehutziu oso ba'achris hazman. We certainly won't count things that originate from generations later than Moshe Rabbeinu's generation. Aval amnam, yimaneh ma shehaya perush mikubal mimenu, anything which we can trace back to Moshe Tar Sinai, we will count as one of the 613. V'hu sheyivaru amatikim v'yomru shezeh davar asur la'asoso v'yisur d'oraisa. Anything which Chazal tell us is v'yisur d'oraisa. O yomru shehu guf Torah. Hine nimne uto. We'll count it. Ki hu noda b'kabbalah. Because it's known through a tradition that goes back to Har Sinai. Lo behekesh. So again, you have this Sinaitic origin as being the criterion for determining whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but without reference to the question of whether it's Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebaalpeh, or whether it's explicit or implicit, but if its origin is in it's at Har Sinai, Nudab Kabbalah, so then it is D'oraisa and counts on the list. V'amnam, he says, Zichrona Hakeshbo V'havi Haraya Allah Be'achas Mishlosh Rasamidos comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a tradition about it, that it's Diraisa, so why do you even need a Medrash? Here he says, Laharot Chachmat HaKasuv K'moshe Bi'arnu B'Perush HaMishnah. It's because the Torah contains all wisdom in it, and it's so wonderful to find all wisdom within the Torah, and so there's allusions to all of the Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai in the Torah, and that shows how wise and perfectly written the Torah is, the same way that allusions to who's going to win the next presidential election, if you could find it in the Torah, would show the wisdom of the Torah, in the same way that the allusions to past historical events or to events of a person's individual life are contained in the Torah, and the ability to find that is Laharot Chachmat HaTorah. Famous story with the Ramban, right, who's Talmud. I don't even remember what the allusion was, but the Ramban had a Talmud who went off the Derech, claiming that it was because the Ramban explained Hafachba Vafachba Dekulaba, and then the Ramban said, but it's true. The Talmud challenged him and said, where do you see my apostasy alluded to in the Torah? And the Ramban actually found him an allusion. That's also Laharot Chachmat HaKasuv, equally to finding allusions to Halach LaMoshe Mi'Sinai in Torah Shebichsav. So that's the piece of the Rambam that I wanted to read, and the Ramban has a response. We'll attempt the Ramban's response now. Okay, so let's see the Ramban. He says, Pliya das mi meni niskevalo uchala, paraphrase of a pasuk in Tehillim, I'm astonished. She'im no marki ena midos ha-nidrashos mikubalos mi-Sinai. If you're going to tell me that the origin of the Shloshes v'mishra Torah nidrashos behen is later than Har Sinai, sort of like the Ravid that we saw, that maybe it was something that we derived by imitating things which the Torah did, rather than having an explicit tradition about it. V'lonis tavinu lidrosh ulefarish behen. Here there's a critical term, nitztavinu, that God never instructed us to use these midos, but rather we chose to use them on our own. So then, imkain harehin bilti amitios. Somehow, and again, I'm not sure how we do this, without a Kabbalah, without a tzivoy, so then it means that everything derived thereby is false. I'm not sure where that comes from. I think the Ramban is going to backpedal on this a few lines later. But right now, he's starting out with a bang. He's saying that Rambam, it must be that we have a tzivoy to be dorish from them. The ha'emes who pashli dekrab belvad, you're going to tell me that the only thing that's true is pshuto shal mikra, because if there's no tzivoy to use the midos, so then it means that they're false. So the only thing that's true is pshuto shal mikra, lo adavar nidrash, kemosh is kir mi ma'aram. Otherwise, why are you quoting this statement of Chazal that ein mikra yose midei pshuto, if you don't mean to say that medrash is false? If we say that Medrash is false, a Karen Rushorish Kabbalah Seinu Biyogim Amidash Atan Nedreshes Ben, we've totally uprooted it. Verova Talmud Asher Yusad Bahen, and we've also denied most of the Talmud, and so it would be kind of heretical to understand the Rambam literally. So we can't understand him literally, but there's a problem, because if we understand him anything other than literally, see, the Ramban feels that there's a problem. So he says, Harav Choser Umode. He goes back, and the Rambam himself says, "She'ina sima mipnei she'ina mitios." And the reason he's avoiding counting midrashim is not because they're false. He admits that midrashim are all true. But im amitios hein ma bin hamakom shehin maskirin ze beferush obistam. What's the difference between a place where Chazal say it's deoraisa and a place where Chazal don't say explicitly that it's a deoraisa? If we're acknowledging that all midrashim nitztavinu lidrosh lefarish b'hen es haTorah, that God commanded us to interpret the Torah based on midrashim, so then that means that everything derived from a medrash should be equal, whether Chazal say that it's deoraisa, whether Chazal don't say that it's deoraisa, because ultimately God told us that we should use midrashim to determine how to conduct ourselves, and any conclusion based on a medrash is therefore equivalent to something which God instructed us to do. Ramban elaborates, Im nomar, kivan shalom nichtav adavar batorah eino bichlal mitzvos. If we'll say that since it's not nichtav batorah, again, he doesn't say nichtav beferush batorah, so it's not written in the Torah at all, neither explicitly nor implicitly. He seems to be saying that medrash might not even be implicit in the Torah. Again, we'll return that next week. So then he says, if that's the case, that anything which is not written in the Torah doesn't count as a mitzvah, then af hamuzkaros mehen betalmud lomar shehin lomar bahen deoraisa, whom Xerashava or Meviboy afhein lo nichtavu. So what does it make a difference if the Talmud says that it's the araisa? At the end of the day, if in order to be the araisa, it needs to be written in Torah Shebichsav, so then Chazal saying that something is written, if it's not written, shouldn't help it be more written. How can Chazal even call it the araisa? If Chazal can call it the araisa, it means that being written in Torah Shebichsav is not the sole criterion, and it's not even a necessary criterion for something to be considered the araisa, because there are things that are not written in Torah Shebichsav that are still the araisa.
Like what?
The Rambam says anything, again, here they give references, Lo says, Hekuf lam hekuf tzadid alekuf tzadid tes and shin lam evav. So whatever they are, apparently they're based on places which conducts which are derived solely from a drasha, which Chazal call the araisas.
Even if there's no maisa, but how does that make sense? No, but he's saying even if it's not, speak of the amal, the losha maisa, the ari lavaya.
So you'll tell me, well, it's the araisa because of the historical part, not because of the Torah Shebichsav part. It's the araisa because it's historical. It goes back all the way to Har Sinai, and anything that originates from Har Sinai is automatically the araisa. But that, if that's so, im amidos amitios, you're telling me that amidos are true. In other words, that nitztavinu lidrosh lefarish b'enas haTorah, that God told us, presumably at Har Sinai, to derive the Torah from the amidos. So then, akol noda b'kabbalah mito yisbarach. So then, everything derived from a medrash originates at Har Sinai, and again, there's no room to differentiate. Again, for the Rambam, is midrabanan because it's absent from Torah Shebichsav. The imkain hadavar mekubal lo yikare dvar Torah mitzana kabbalah. So let's see, it's not written explicitly in Torah Shebichsav, and it's not written explicitly in Torah Shebichsav. So if a medrash alone doesn't make something the araisa, and halach lamosh misinai alone doesn't make something in the araisa, how can a medrash plus a halach lamosh misinai make something into a the araisa? Even halach lamosh misinai is divrei sofrim. Again, the Ramban is saying, the Rambam seems to be emphasizing the written in Torah Shebichsav part over the historical origin part. He says, something which is a medrash and also a tradition, if you're going to call it the araisa, it can't be because of the tradition. So it must be elamitzara yosu nidrash min amidos hu dvar Torah. So if it's going to be the araisa, it must be because it's derived from the midos. So if being derived from the midos makes it the araisa, then even things which don't have a kabbalah and are derived from the midos should also be the araisa. Ramban continues. Is still with me? Okay, so we're at the new. Skip the ellipsis and. So this is a sort of a new inyan. Each sentence of the Ramban is like a book in itself. So. The analysis of the earlier sentences are not necessarily dependent on the analysis of the later ones, and vice versa. Ein elu anafim ela ikarim. He says the midrashim can't be described as branches; they must be described as roots. And that's just interesting. I think you would have to look at each of the midrashim and then figure out some criterion other than. Is it a medrash or is it pshuto shel mikra to determine? Ramban, I think, is saying that conceptually, if you analyze some of the laws that are derived from midrashim, you'll discover that they are just as critical and just as central as things that are derived from pshuto shel mikra. In which case, you can't say that the divide between pshat and medrash is the same as the divide between central and peripheral, because logic tells me that some things that are derived from midrashim are also central, and who says anything otherwise? So they're just as worthy of inclusion as those things which Chazal derived from the Medrash and also called the Araisa. Perhaps Chazal called those things the Araisa only because Chazal understood that they were central, but that doesn't mean that Chazal were in the business of listing everything which they felt was central, just that sometimes, perhaps, just given the context in the shir or the stylistic predilections of whoever was saying it. So they were more, some Tanoim or Amoraim may have been more prone to describe things as sensual, and others may have been more prone to leave it implicit rather than to say so outright. In Ben Hefresh, there's no difference between Midrashim with a Mesora, Midrashim without a Mesora, V'lo mitzad sheyehu mesupakot v'amitasan. So now he finally gets to what is probably pshat in the Rambam. He says, "Ulai yispor." Perhaps he'll think, "Shehadin anush b'midah min amidos medrash im hayoso ms." It's true, aval in lo remez bakasuv. Doesn't have any remez, meaning what? It's not even implicit. Not even implicit in Torah Shabichsav, because it doesn't have Torah Shabichsav. V'lo nichtava mikra elo lepshuto. And the reason it's not even implicit is because Torah Shabbat Sav doesn't admit implicit meanings. It's only written lipshuto. V'lo lohut simi menu hadin hahu. Ooh. So this is already a little bit different. This is talking about original intent. Why was a mikra nichtav? Why was it written? What exactly was the intent with which this pasuk was written? Was it written with the intent to communicate to me pshat and nothing else? Or was it written with the intent to communicate to me pshat and this din which is alluded to in Medrash? So you'll tell me, maybe the Rambam means that the original intent of God when he wrote the Torah was to communicate the pshat and any mitzvos or halachos that are derived from the pshat, but was not to communicate the mitzvos that were derived from the Medrash. And therefore, Hareyu Nikra Derabbanon, but kishen nishma osam omrim shehu midiyoraisa, when the Chazal say that it's diyoraisa, o sheyom reshu guf Torah, then they also will count it, mipnei shehu noda bekabbalah, because then we have a tradition going back to God, ki ariboy o agzer shava bapasakahu, nichtivu lahotzi bohadina hu anilmad. God says that this particular extra word or this particular gzer shava, I actually put that in the Torah to communicate this din, as opposed to other things which are derived from the drashim, where we don't have a tradition that God says, this is why I wrote that word, or this is why I wrote, you know, I used that particular word. So this is slightly different than what we had up until now. Up until now we had, historically speaking, and we had the, how explicit or implicit is it in the Torah based on our perspective. And now we're talking about the original intent of Hashem when he wrote the Torah. Anything which was God's original intent is Deoraisa, and anything which is not God's original intent, it is Derabbanon. Philosophically, it's a very strange set of terms to use, because God is omniscient, so he knows all the possible ways in which the Torah will be read. If he told us to use the midos to darshan the Torah, so then you have to believe that whatever, that he wrote the Torah in the way that he wrote it, because he knew that we would darshan it when he wanted us to darshan it that way. I think that may be why the Ramban feels that this is a little bit difficult, but at least he's suggesting for the Rambam that the Kabbalah impacts on Pshuto Shel Mikra. Pshuto Shel Mikra won't be defined anymore as the simple reading of the text as we humans see it with our finite perspective, but rather Pshuto Shel Mikra will be defined as God's original intent, which when he tells us what his original intent is, then good, we know it because he told it to us. And when he doesn't tell us what his original intent is, so then we do our best to figure it out based on what seems to be the most compelling reading of the psukim. And so that's how you have this pshara in the Rambam. If you have a medrash and a kabbalah, even though both of them alone would be insufficient, because it needs to be, the raisa needs to be rooted in a pasuk, but if the halach l'moshe m'sinai tells me what pshuto shel mikra is, in other words, what the original intent is, that makes it into the raisa. Says Mikol Makom, Osan Shelo His Kiru Shein Diaraisa. If the Chazal don't tell me it's Diaraisa, Hari Amita Sadin at Slow Besafik. So then the Rambam is uncertain. And whom did we saw from the Gamri Shechichu also Bebeistin? The Rambam seems to be uncertain. If the Chazal didn't tell us it's Diaraisa, then it may originate historically much much later than Har Sinai. Oh, Shalom Du Oso Mipimo Sharabin Walav Hashalom. So he's not sure. There are certain things that are midrashim So it could be that the origin is later and it's just an asmachta, right? Or it could be that it's an asmachta for a halach lamosh misinai. But one way or another, it wouldn't qualify as a d'oraisa, because even if God intended for us to do this, but he didn't include it in Torah Shebichsav. Ve'enu bichlal Torah tziva lanu Moshe klomar taryag mitzvos. So something which has no remez in the Ksuvia Torah is not bichlal Torah tziva lanu Moshe. In other words, taryag mitzvos. I'm not 100% sure why that should be. Because right, if it originated from Moshe Rabbeinu, if the halach l'Moshe Misinai was transmitted through Moshe Rabbeinu, so then why is halach l'Moshe Misinai not bichlal Torah tziva lanu Moshe? Anyhow, be that as it may, just finish the Ramban and then we'll stop for now. It says anu lo matzinu das chachamim bazeh. I'm also not sure what that line means exactly. I think what he means is that the Chazal don't agree with the Rambam. Shamides kulan etzlam kedavar mefurash betorah, because they don't differentiate between pshuto shel mikra and medrash. For them, anything which is derived from medrash is kimefurash betorah. What's his raya? Dorshim osan midatam. If they were not explicit in the Torah, Chazal would have no right to apply the midos without a tradition. The fact that Chazal are willing to use Kal v'Chomer certainly, and presumably the 12 other midos aside from Gzeir Shava, indicates that they don't feel that they're doing something which is outside of interpreting Torah Shebichsav. Not just that, of interpreting the intent, the original intent of Torah Shebichsav. Because if they were doing something other than interpreting the original intent of Torah Shebichsav, then they would have required some sort of a tradition for every single time that they applied one of the midos.
If it's not Minotaurah.
If the midos themselves, meaning if the din, if the halacha that they're learning out is only the Rabbanon, and they're just making an asmachta, so that would also be an explanation for why they don't need a tradition. Because why do you need a tradition to make an asmachta? It's just laharos chachmas hakasuv. Chazal treat the midos as davar meforash b'Torah, and he may be appealing to what he said earlier that we're manish unshim d'oraisa based on the midos. And if that's the case, then we certainly wouldn't have given misas beistin or malchus to a person based on a midah without a kabbalah, unless we considered it davar meforash b'Torah. He says, why does Gzeir Shava need tell me that maybe Gzeir Shava is different? Gzeir Shava is not Davar Mefurash B'Torah. Here again is another hint that maybe you could, at least as a Havamina, here differentiate between some Midos and other Midos in terms of their origin or their halachic status. And Ramban says, no, the Gzeir Shava Tzvichu Bo Kabbalah Mefurashes, not because it's not explicit in Torah Shebichsav. Rather, mipneishu who davarsh yachal adam lidrush bo kalayom, the lister bo kal dini Torah. Because gzeir shava, you can make whatever you want. If you can make up your own gzeir shavas without a tradition, then you could have basically said any halacha that you ever wanted. Hiatevos yikaflu batorah kama pamim. The same words appear many many times in Torah. Bayomer. Okay. I afshar lesefer gadol liyos kulo b'midos mechudashos. God could not have written. Presumably God could have written, but anyone other than God couldn't have written such a big book without, using hepexagamenons every single time. That hepexagamenon is a fancy word for a word that only appears once in Tanakh. So you couldn't make every single word in the Torah hepexagamenon. Presumably God could have done that, but that would have been like a big miracle, and God doesn't. I don't know exactly why he feels that. Maybe because it would have been incomprehensible to us if every single word was new. One way or another, he says, it's unreasonable to say.
Forget the Torah, the Lashon Bnei Adam.
Divra Torah, Lashon Bnei Adam. Okay, maybe another reason. Rabbi Breuer has his essay on Pshat, which we may get to next week or 2 weeks from now. He gives four different definitions of Pshat, and his favored definition is that Pshat means Dibratar Glashim Bnei Adam. So, for whatever reason, the Ramban felt that God felt it would be counterproductive to write the entire Torah in new words. Each word should be new and not appear, or at least each parsha should, you could repeat a word within a parsha, but never between two parshios. So that would have been very strange. Although it would have made Gzeirah Shavah much more explicit, because that would mean that, like, any time that you find a word that's repeated, you know it's for Gzeirah Shavah. This way, you never know. So that's why you need a tradition. It is parish that be mekomus min atamu shamru adam dan kavachomer miatzmo vein adam gan dan gzeir shava miatzmo elim kin kibla mirabo kmo shehuskar b'shin alnido be mekomus achirim vehim omrim lishto kram yinei velisi b'kavachomer. So he brought two rayos that kavachomers don't need a tradition, and he brought one ray that gzeir shava does need a tradition. Doesn't talk at all about the other 11 midos. I seem to recall I once saw that there is a machlokes about the other 11 midos, whether they need a tradition or not. I have to find where that is again, but the Ramban is clearly assuming that they do not, and hence his conclusion is that all of the midrashim are dvarim miforashim b'Torah. Gzeir Shava, as you could interpret any which way, so how can you call them miforash b'Torah? That I'm not 100% sure either. It sounds like even the Maskana, the Ramban, is saying that Gzeir Shavas are not as miforash b'Torah as other things, because other things they're clear, they're unambiguous. There's a fun you can reach based on them, as opposed to Gzeirah Shavah, where there's an infinite number of conclusions.
Rashi says in places like he's in context of Gzeirah Shavah, that when we do that, it's like as if it's written explicitly. He seems to think that Gzeirah Shavah are stronger, in particular that Rashi has an understanding towards Gzeirah Shavah. Came across one recently, but I've seen it in a couple different places where he says that.
I think the original intent theory would work best with that, meaning that if you say that it's more d'oraisa, if it's closer to God's original intent, then since every Gzeir Shava reflects God's original intent, and we know that because there's a Kabbalah, so the Gzeir Shavas will be much stronger than everything else, where we'll be a little bit more mesupak because we're doing it purely based on our own seichel. So in the end of the day, I think, you know, that the defense of the Rambam, which the Ramban is hinting at, is that there are two levels of explicitness with which God communicated at Har Sinai. On the one hand, he communicated to us that certain things are more central, and he communicated to us that certain things are more peripheral. Chazal will describe something as being the Oraisa or a Guf Torah if they have a tradition that God communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu that this is a more central tenet of Jewish faith and Jewish values. Chazal will assume that anything which is a medrash, napshuto shel mikra, in the absence of such a communication, is more peripheral, it's more of an anaf and not a shoresh. But something which is pshuto shel mikra, that's the equivalent also of God stating this is central. And so there are two ways that God can tell us that something is essential. He can either tell us that this medrash is a central medrash, or he can tell us that this pshuto shel mikra. If he just told us halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, I think the assumption is that also that's as peripheral as something which is a medrash alone. The medrash may originate at Har Sinai. It could be that God told he told us to use a yud gimel midos, but because he didn't specify particular conclusions, he didn't single them out, so he basically told us all of those in a lump. The fact he didn't differentiate them indicates, perhaps, that they are less central, and that, axiologically speaking, if you're going to talk about a range of being, you know, more d'oraisa to less d'oraisa, those which were not specified, singled out, and differentiated, that may be a simon, that they are perhaps a little bit less significant in terms of how we should structure our conduct. So that, I think, for me, is really the intention of the Rambam. But we see the Ramban rejects this. He says that all of the midrashim are as important as central, or at least that we can't use medrash versus pshat as the criterion for determining centrality. Perhaps we can use our own seichel to determine centrality, because at the end, in the end of the day, God did give us permission to, that was his line, Ein Elu Anafim Ela Ikarim, presumably based on logical analysis, he concluded that some things from Midrashim are central, and so all we have to say is that we were nitztaveh to be dorish all of them. We're allowed to be dorish all of them because the tzivoy is simply gives us license to interpret these as dvarim hamifurashim bakra. The tzivoy is giving us license to interpret things that are less explicit and raise them to the level of more explicit. And hence the Ramban concludes that midrashim themselves are d'oraisa, their origins are d'oraisa, the conclusions that we draw based on them are d'oraisa, and so the Ramban is a very strong proponent of Yogim Omidos Min HaTorah.